And if you have your Bibles, let's open up God's Word together. Hebrews chapter 11, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I've been looking forward to this. Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 29, as we speak about the life and the faith of Moses. And while you're turning there, I just say I so love all that the Lord is doing here at Richland Creek. I tell you about the food pantry and last week, the four folks that put their faith in Christ. And then just this past weekend, Friday night, we had a respite here, our special needs ministry. So grateful for Eleanor Waterman and Maria and Karen and the leaders of the special needs ministry. And having 72 children here that have special needs that we watch and love on from our community and invest and pour into those families and those children. I praise God for our special needs ministry and all that was going on here Friday night. Amen. And thank you all for serving in that. Also Friday night, there's the Messianic ministry going on. Grateful for Wynn Crenshaw and our Messianic ministry here at the Creek that meets every Friday night. Our recreation ministry and taekwondo and karate with Nathan Brown and just all the different ministries of the Creek. And then we have going on in our student ministry, middle school and high school ministries, did a lock-in. So some of you are a little bit tired today, still recovering from the lock-in. And we had several of our teenagers and several from outside who were invited in that came and placed their faith in Jesus Christ that Friday night. Amen? I don't know. For me, it never gets old hearing about those who are being saved and those who are being sent out. And all this is going on, and I'm so grateful for the leaders here that walk with the Lord and love God and love people, seeing people come to Christ and seeing people now growing and walking in their faith. While that was going on, my daughter had prom Friday night. I can't believe she's already a senior. And so Grace, going to prom, I'll try not to cry now. Just posted a few pictures, you know, just to say how much we love you. And, you know, sometimes you hear from friends you haven't heard from in a long time. One of those friends posted and he said, "Thank God she looks like her mother." So, yeah, I rejoice and thank God in that same miracle myself. She was beautiful, absolutely beautiful, second only to her mom in beauty. Praise the Lord for that. Love my family, and I love my church family. And I love that we gather together every week as God has called us to do around the Word of God to worship the Lord and how sweet it is to worship the Lord together. Amen? How sweet that is. I know life can be difficult and trials and tribulations. The Bible tells us through many trials and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. But all of that serves to test the quality of our faith. The integrity and the depth of our faith will be tested over time. And so it was with Moses. So it was with Moses. His faith was tested. His story and the stories of those who have gone before us. They have lived their lives. They have made their choices. And their stories are now recorded throughout all eternity. The choices that they made. The choice to live by faith. To walk in obedience to God. Believing God. And now your stories are being written even this day. The choices that you will make, are they consistent with God's word? When we began our study in Hebrews 11, right there in verse 1, the author gave us a definition of faith. Faith, the things that are hoped for, the substance, things that are hoped for, and the evidence of things not yet seen. We unpacked that a little bit, and we used a working definition of faith, that faith is confidence in God's word. Faith, to believe, to trust in God, believing what God says. Let me ask you today, do you believe what God's word says? How will I know that you have faith, that you believe what God's word says. How will I know that? Because over time, I can watch you make choices consistent with what God's word says. So faith is confidence in God, God's word, regardless of the cost, regardless of the consequences. I have heard it said and have been there in my own life. It's going to cost me if I walk by faith and do what God says. It might cost you financially. You might have friends and family members scoff at you, laugh at you, make fun of you, because you do things God's way. Your choices line up with God's word. Faith is confidence in God's word, regardless of the cost, the consequences, and the circumstances. Faith is believing God's word, and it results in obedience to God's word. It's a faith that works. We're not saved by our works, but now our faith, when it's genuine, is alive and it's working in our lives. And so God is calling us now as his children to walk by faith. And in fact, if we are his children, it then becomes observable. Not that we don't stumble along the way, but that the pattern of our lives, obedience to God's word. So it calls us to look into the mirror deeply and to say, am I really a child of God? The Bible says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Do I trust God, believe God, and walk by faith, walk in obedience to his word? And I hope that's the pattern of your life. We saw in verse 6 of Hebrews 11 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God if you don't believe God, number one, that he exists, and believe his word in the sense of, God, I believe what you're saying, and I'm actually going to follow through on what you say. Let that be what rules your life, believing and trusting God, having confidence now, regardless of the cost, resulting in obedience. And we saw some of the lives of faith last time we were together, and now we come upon verse 23, where God is going to share with us through this author about the life of Moses. Moses, the lawgiver of Israel, right? He wrote the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Moses, who even wrote one psalm. Bonus, if you can tell me after the service which psalm he wrote. Moses was actually a humble man, believe it or not, but God gave him the mantle of leading his people, Israel. And God used him as an instrument to deliver his people from bondage out of Egypt. By faith, Moses, verse 23, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Maybe you remember what was going on in Egypt at that time. Moses was born to Hebrew parents. He was Hebrew. And the Hebrews had gotten into Egypt because if you'll back up in time, some 400 years before Moses, and you'll see that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had Joseph, and Joseph's brother sold him into bondage, and he was taken down into Egypt, and God used him and his faith to become second in charge. And there was a famine that God had caused in the land. And so the family of Jacob, the Hebrews, actually now migrated down into Egypt. And there they are going down into Egypt, just a handful, this family. But they multiplied there, and while they were there, they became very numerous. The Pharaohs changed, and they put the people of God, the Hebrews, in bondage, in slavery. And so they were making bricks of straw and clay while they were there in bondage. And as they began to multiply more and more, there was an edict from the king, that is the Pharaoh, that all the male children would then be cast into the river and destroyed. will have no such deliverer coming to liberate the people of God as they had heard prophecy. There would be no more, the male children would be thrown in the river for a period of time. Well, Moses' parents hear about that, and it says that when Moses was born by faith, his parents hid him for 3 months because they saw that he was a beautiful child. He was a special child. He was no ordinary child. He was a fine child. And the parents were not afraid of the Pharaoh's, the king's command in any way. They were not afraid. God has called us to live a life of faith now in such a way that we fear God, but we don't fear man. Listen, when you fear God and you live in awe and reverence of who God is, the fear of God then is the death of all other fears. We don't fear man because we believe in the sovereignty and the power and the plans of God. And so we see that they kept him, and we know the story of Moses, that his mother made a basket and sealed that basket, and she knew where Pharaoh's daughter was. Pharaoh had one daughter, and when she was out bathing in the Nile with her servants, that the basket, which now contained baby Moses, was pushed down and set there that she would discover him. And she saw him, loved him, and received him and adopted Moses, so that Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's household. Moses was brought up with all the wisdom, all the wealth, all the beauty of Egypt was his in that regard. He was brought up as royalty. But something happened. As Moses grew up, we see in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, that is to say, when he had grown up, probably about the age of 40, that Moses began to pursue an understanding of the world that he lived in. And the Bible says that he considered, he gave thought to, and actually saw the world for what it truly was. He understood and had come to know the story of the Hebrews, their plight, the promises that God had made to them. He understood about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he also understands the world that he lives in. He could walk down to the treasuries of Egypt, which was the most powerful, wealthiest nation on planet Earth at that time. And he could walk in and just run his fingers through all the gold and all the precious stones. And he could look out and see the military. And he had access to the finest of the libraries and wisdom. The world had come to Moses. And Moses knew all of these things. But by faith, when he became of age, he made a decision, a choice, that I believe that God is calling every one of you to make as well. Moses is going to see the world for what it is, all of its wealth and wisdom, the women that were available to Moses, everything, the pleasures of life he had already obtained. Moses sees what it's worth in true value, and the Bible says here that he refused. Moses now refuses and denies those things, refused to be called and identified with the household of Pharaoh, which for us really is a type of the world. The world is trying to lure you with all of its beauty and all of the temptations of power that Moses had, prestige and privilege, possessions, pleasures. The world was now tightening its grip on Moses. But Moses sees that for what it is, and Moses makes the choice to refuse the world and its ways and its pleasures, and he makes a choice to turn and embrace the people of God, the ways of God, and the promises of God. I want you to see how this unfolds as Moses' choice, and then press it up against your life. To refuse the world and to embrace God. To refuse the world's ways and embrace God's ways. Hear me to say this, please. I'm not condemning that you have any amount of wealth, that you have a nice car and a nice house. The idea that's presented here is the idea of selfish gain, selfish endeavors, living for self and worldly pleasures versus living for God and what pleases God. Moses became determined, whatever it takes, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to please God, and nothing in this world, all the gold of this world, will not persuade me otherwise. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to identify with Pharaoh's household, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. To which case, I am absolutely sure those who rendered counsel to Moses would say to Moses, Moses, you fool! What are you doing? You're turning your back on all of this. Moses, you're a fool. What are you thinking? Why would you do that? You go from rich to poverty. You go from having everything to nothing. You go from pleasures forevermore, pleasures of life, to pain and suffering. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15 through 17, do not love this world. For those who love this world, the love of the Father is not in them. For the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, not for those who love God. And those who do such things, the love of the Father is not in them. Moses had now considered and was able to see something greater. And it says here that choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather to suffer, to be afflicted, to be beaten, to be mistreated, and to associate rather with the people of God was the choice that Moses made, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And how many of you know that this world offers you a broad assortment of the pleasures of sin? And the Bible itself testifies that there is pleasure in sin for a season. But I promise you this, listen, it is all fool's gold. And we see so many chasing after the fool's gold and missing. They are short-sighting themselves. They have exhausted themselves, even lost their health, pursuing after selfish gain, selfish ambition. They've exhausted and lost their health to gain the fool's gold, which will pass away. They have sacrificed their children and their marriages at the altar of worldly success. And it's all passing away. What could I give you today that you would disobey God and walk contrary to God, that you would love the world and pursue the world? Could I give you $1 million? Would you take it? Would you take $1 million to not walk in God's ways, but walk to the ways of the flesh and the ways of the world? Would you take it? Be the worst trade you ever made in your life. It'd be the worst deal you ever made in your life even if you obtained a million or even $1 billion. Mark tells us in his gospel, in Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man? What does it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Moses is now considering these things. So after he rationalizes that, he understands that this temporary life and the fool's gold is a trick. Satan might use it and the flesh might desire after it. But it was a better choice to associate with God's people, to do it God's way, not the world's way. I can tell you of story after story that I have heard. You are making similar choices. People say, you gave an offering to the church, you gave money to the church. Why? You could keep it and spend it for yourself. Go get the money back that you just gave and treat yourself to a nice dinner tonight. Why do you have to walk in obedience? Why do you choose those things? Heard some lady with a beautiful voice. Some man said, boy, she should be in Nashville. Told the story to that lady. She says, no, God gave me the voice to edify and encourage the people of God. Why would I prostitute my giftedness to give it to Hollywood or to Nashville? It belongs to God and the people of God. I said, now you get it. You get it. Or somebody who says, man, I don't want to, I know you don't know. I don't know what people give. I don't want to know. That's between you and the Lord. Someone says, well, I just want you to know that I stopped giving 10% a long time ago. I said, that's between you and God. He says, I give 20% more if I can, because I just want to live on what I can do, and I want to see the kingdom of God advance. When I hear about kids being saved and churches being planted and ministries growing and people growing in their faith and the word of God spreading, I want to invest. God wants me to invest in things that are eternal, not in my selfish enterprises. He gets it. Man, I can remember the same thing, and this is why this verse holds such importance to me. I can remember when I resigned my position, corporate life in Washington, D.C., had just been offered a really nice job somewhere else. And God dealt with me on the flight out of New Orleans. I could see the Gulf of Mexico. God shaking me and saying, little boy, you're done with this. You're going into ministry. And please hear me to say, for those of you who are in corporate life and doing well, that doesn't mean you're in sin in any way. God wants you to represent Him in the boardrooms, in the hospitals, in the classrooms, whatever it is that God has called you to. But I remember when I resigned my position to my boss, and he looked at me and he says, so you're probably going to wind up just carrying some Bible around, living on dirt floors in Africa. And I said, whatever God says, that's fine with me. My wife said she'd agreed to it, and I said, then let's get married. Crazy world. He looked at me, and he says, you're a fool. He says, you're giving up all of this for nothing. I can remember standing in his office, and I said, no way. I'm giving up nothing for everything. God should be your everything. That what you do is in line with His word, His will, His ways for you in your life. Moms who raise kids in their home, I praise God for you. The world might say, man, you could have been so much more. No, you're being the greatest as you invest into your children and into your families. We must have this mindset of faith that the world might laugh and says, you're a fool. And we say we're losing nothing and we're gaining everything as we gain Christ. They laughed at Paul. They laughed at Paul. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, circumcised on the eighth day. He had this religious pedigree. And Paul testified about his own accomplishments. And he said this. He said, I consider them all as rubbish for the surpassing knowledge of knowing God, living by faith. I have crucified the flesh. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's what it means to walk by faith. And so Moses turns away from the world and all of its greatest offers. He turns away from those things, and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And the key now is in verse 26 when he explains why. What drove this conclusion? And I'm asking you to listen and to make this your life verse, that you would resolve to have that same fate, that same choice that Moses did. Here it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ. To esteem means now to consider, to weigh, watch this, to weigh in the scales of one's mind. Hegeomai, to weigh in your mind. You can see when somebody's thinking about something, right? And so Moses walks around Egypt, and the scales of his mind are going back and forth. He's about to make a life, eternal life decision as to how he's going to spend the rest of his life. Think it through. I see all the gold and I can feel it. I see the military and the women and the pleasures and everything. The wisdom of Egypt, it's all right there. I got it. And I see the people of God. But I can look just above the horizon and see the promises of God. The Bible says here that he considered and weighed in his mind the suffering for the people of Christ, the reproach, the loss that is accompanied with going toward this. But it says that he considered and weighed that the reproach of Christ was of greater riches, of greater wealth, of greater value than all the treasures in Egypt. And I promise you this day that you choosing to follow Christ and the reproach of Christ for you is of greater value than all the wealth of this world. I promise you, there's coming a day for you. There's coming a day, well, I'll see you 100 years from now. Maybe sooner, the Lord might split the sky and return today. That'd be all right, amen? And I'll look at you and I'll say, I told you so. Eli, I told you. Eli's going to look back at me and say, I knew it. Man, I knew it. I had it. I saw it. God was coming. He was going to keep his word. The Lord is coming again. There is an eternity, an eternal life. There's a better promise, a better resurrection, a better hope, a better promise, a better home for the people of God. And we look forward to those things. We consider people coming to Christ of greater value than the next business deal. We consider people coming to Christ and churches being planted in India and Cuba and Peru and Israel and all the places that God is sending out his people. We consider obedience to God of greater value than all the riches of the world. The Bible says here, for Moses looked to the reward. God gave him the ability to just look a little bit past the short life, this vapor that's in front of us. He says, if I just make choices consistent with the Word of God, as I navigate through the trials, the tribulations, the temptations, God's going to test my faith, and I can hold on to him and walk by obedience in the midst of the suffering and the persecution. So the author of Hebrews says, you need to have endurance. You need to have faith. Moses looked to the reward. You know, in southern India, they will catch monkeys. When we go to India, there's monkeys that... We had one guy who was late to the bus. I said, where you been? He says, there was a monkey right above the door. I couldn't get out. I was stuck on the roof. I said, how'd you get out? He said, I had a banana. I threw it over there. I said, did that work? He said, no, the monkey just stared at me. He said, it was a big monkey, as big as I was. I said, what happened? He said, finally, I decided I'd run through the door. I said, did he drop on you? He said, no, but I dropped myself. I came through the door, and I made it. monkeys. They catch monkeys. They put out jars that have a narrow opening so that the monkey can slide his hand through. He's drawn because he can see shiny things. He sees the shiny things and his mind is attracted to the shiny things. Or they'll put some food in he can smell. And so the monkey's so attracted to it that the monkey will reach his hand in there, his lust and his desire for those shiny things, and he reaches into the jar and he grabs it. And he tries to pull his hand out, but his hand now has all that shiny stuff that he can't pull out. And he starts jumping up and down. The jar has been fastened, tethered to a rope, so that now the monkey's stuck. They'll tie it to a rope on the ground or tie it around a branch in a tree. And the monkey starts jumping up and down trying to pull his arm out. And the hunters are coming. The hunters are approaching. And you and I would say to the monkey, if you want to be free, just let go. Let it go. Pull your hand out. Take off. But the monkey won't let it go. Oh, that shiny stuff. He's willing to give up his life for that shiny stuff. See, a lot of people today in America do the same thing. Satan's got them. Do you have the shiny stuff or does it have you? Let it go. Let your hand come free. The Lord will set you free. True riches are in knowing Christ. Moses considered the reproach of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. How about you? What do you place value on? What is your hope in? You grab it at the fool's gold, sacrificing all these things. The story of Moses would go on. In verse 27, by faith, Moses forsook. He left Egypt. Moses had faith. How do we know? How would we even think Moses had faith if he would have stayed in his palace enjoying all the pleasures of Egypt? Sitting there running his fingers through gold, counting his money. He had faith. I don't know. He says he's a Hebrew, but he lives like an Egyptian, if you ask me. I'd have to question his faith. But no, his faith worked and took action. By faith, Moses left Egypt. How do we know Moses had faith? Look at his life. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, the anger of the king. For Moses endured, he stayed with his decision. Time has a way of proving someone's decision. We see a lot of people rush in. Sounds good. I praise God for decisions for Christ. But over time, it doesn't pan out and they live for the world, run back to the world and embrace the world. That was not genuine faith. Moses endured as seeing him, God, who is invisible. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. And there's so much to say. By faith, Moses kept the Passover, lest he who destroyed the firstborn, that angel of death, should touch them. God told Moses, Moses, have the people put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of the house, and I will come upon the land and visit in judgment. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. And in the same way, how prophetic it was that Jesus, Paul would write and say, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And that by faith, we trust and are covered in the blood of Jesus. So that when God's wrath and his judgment comes upon the land in this world, those who have received Christ and his bloodshed on the cross, where he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, that blood now covers us.
We believe that by faith, just as the Hebrews believed by faith and they were saved. We believe God's judgment is coming upon those who have not received Jesus Christ. And I know the world will shake its head and say, that's silly. Well, that's what makes the difference. Believers, we believe that Jesus died for our sins, and that by placing our faith in his blood, his shed blood, where he died for our sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. The Bible says that that's foolishness, right? It's the foolishness of God, right? That is greater than the wisdom of men. And that we believe in the work of the cross, the blood that was shed for us. And it is the power of God that saves us, believing in God. Moses instructed them to put the blood on the doors of the house so that God's judgment would pass over. And in the same way, we do that. By faith, the people of God passed through the Red Sea. They were led out by Moses. God used Moses. By faith, they would walk across the Red Sea as by dry land. You can imagine they stood there at that very crucial moment. They saw the sea in front of them, Pharaoh's army behind them. They thought, oh no, what have we done? Have we come out here to perish? And Moses reminded them that God had planned to deliver them from bondage all along. God is going to deliver us from this world and free us. And those who believed by faith were delivered walking through the Red Sea as if on dry ground, and those who pursued them, they were destroyed. It's a beautiful picture of what God does for his people. And he considers Israel, the psalmist says, he considers Israel and the people of God different than he does Egypt. Are you living like a Hebrew, a child of God, or are you living like an Egyptian? Worldly, selfish gain. Maybe you should take a walk around this world we live in and consider and let the scales of your mind think through what truly has value. And if you will do that, you will consider that God's ways and his word and his promises for us far outweigh anything that this world could ever offer to you. So now you take dead aim on the rest of your life and determine, I'm going to walk by faith and please God with my life. I'm going to walk in obedience to his word. Let the world have its ways. I'm going to do it God's way. I belong to God, and I'm going to live for him. Could you resolve to make that choice today? God is calling us in his word to make a choice. Would you make a choice of faith, just like Moses did, so that your story, which is being written today, would end as a story of faith in God? Let us pray. Father, I pray that this word would grab hold of our hearts and change us, that we would truly consider what impresses you, that we would not live to impress the world, that we would not try to live as those who obtain some level of worldly success, but, oh God, that we would be like those of faith who have gone before us. We'd be like Joshua, who also turned away from the world, and he determined to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a difficult journey, one that has costs and consequences, one that has a great reward, great joy in following after you. May we abandon our lives to you, O God, to live only to please you. Lord, we entrust these words now to you, that you'd sow them into our hearts, and we would walk by faith. We pray now in Jesus' name.